Sorcery-related violence and murder continue to be a problem in Papua New Guinea. Once confined to small pockets of the country, it's now far more widespread, with men and women accused of witchcraft attacked and often killed. Helen Mark is the coordinator of Oxfam's PNG Gender Justice Program, and she joins me now from Goroka in the Eastern Highlands province via Skype. She's sitting with some survivors of sorcery-related violence who will also be speaking to. Helen, welcome. Can you explain to me how instances of sorcery-related violence come about? What beliefs are at play? What makes this happen?
Sorcery-related violence is a violence that is instigated on people who are accused of, they say they have a special powers or supernatural powers that can cause death or who causes misfortunes on other people's lives. So when there's, we are seeing that when there's death within the communities, people are accusing others which they have, which they believe some kind of supernatural powers or some kind of forces which they cause another person to die.
What kind of events lead to people being accused of sorcery?
Mostly we are seeing people of standing within the community, or when people are seeing that young people are dying, then they are seeing, they are accusing others as those deaths are caused by people with sorcery or witchcraft powers.
So it's people wanting to find someone to blame for deaths in the community?
Yes.
And how do these situations usually play out? Can you tell me about a case, something that demonstrates the way this works in a community, a case that you can describe to us?
Well, in a situation where a death has occurred, and if there was someone who has, for example, has been, you know, has caused or has said something against that person who has died or has made a threat against that person. And when the person died, then they are looking at that person who has made that accusation or has made that threat as you were the one who said some bad things about this person and you made threat on that person's life. So now he's dead and you are the one who's now caused that death. So they will be, the community or people will be mobilizing and then telling that person that you are responsible for the death of this person because of what you have said at that point of in time.
Is the issue getting better or worse over there?
We can say within the last 4 or 5 years, we have seen an increase of sorcery-related violence and cases dealing with sorcery accusations has increased. In previously, we have not seen an increase. Sorcery-related violence has been something that was dealt at the community level and it was dealt among leaders. But now it's widespread and the sorcery-related killings and accusations are becoming more of a frequent occurrence.
You said that the issue is getting worse, which surprises me because you'd think in these kinds of areas things would be improving. Why is it getting worse?
One of the things that we are seeing is that, you know, the public tortures or the accusations that are happening is by any person within the community and it's not dealt through the customary structure or the leadership structure. It's anyone who just, you know, can go out and cause violence to another person. They are going out and it's causing that violence to people whom they are accused of sorcery.
I understand that you have some survivors of sorcery-related violence with you now. Are you able to put one of them on to speak to me? I understand that they don't want to be named and also they don't speak English, so you'll be interpreting for them.
I have a male and a female survivor here.
If we can start with the female survivor to share that story, if you can give me a picture of what happened.
Okay, the case of the female survivor, she was accused of sorcery when there was a death in her community. A small child died. When the child died, they went to where she was at the garden when she was returning back from the garden and they bashed her up on the way.
I imagine she was left quite injured. What happened after that? Did she go to hospital? Did she seek medical attention? What were the events that occurred after?
After beating her up, they took her to the child where he was lying dead, and then they took her there to see the child. They told her that she was the one who killed the child, and people were saying she's not from around here, she has no people to protect her, so kill her. And when they were about to kill her, someone within the community rescued her and took her to the hospital to get treatment.
Did she have to go into hiding? How did she escape the situation?
When they accused her of killing the child, she had no place else to go because she was not from the local area. She was from the Morobe province, who got married into the Chimbu province. So she said, I have no place else to go, so I surrender. If you want to kill me, you can kill me. So there was someone within the community who felt that needed to protect her and took her to the hospital for treatment.
Helen Mark, Queensland University of Technology recently completed a study of sorcery-related violence. What did it find? Were there any surprises? Is the story we just heard from this female survivor common?
Yes, we are seeing also almost equal amount of males and females being accused of sorcery-related violence, small margins. So 48% of male as well as 52% of females accused of sorcery-related violence. For women, it is common, like in the case of the survivor, because they are married into another community, into the husband's tribe, where they have to leave their family or leave their tribe behind. So they are usually vulnerable when they don't have that sort of support networks.
I'd like to hear the male story because, look, I think, you know, across the world we think of these sorcery stories and we do think of women most commonly. I was surprised to hear those numbers there, that so many men are also victims of sorcery. Can the male survivor, who I know is also in the room with you, tell me his story? How did he get caught up in this?
One family.
His situation was also around the death of a family member. And it was a male family member, a cousin who died within his community. And his relatives got together and they said that he was the one who used sorcery on his family member, his brother, to kill him. So the family members got together and sent him away from the community, exiled him from the community and didn't want him to go back into his community.
After he was ostracised from his community, what support networks were available for him?
So when he was exiled from his community, he came away with his immediate family. There were about 32 of them, women and children, who left their community because sorcery-related violence, when it affects one member of a family, then it also affects the whole tribe and the family members as well. So he left with 32 members of his family members and came to settle in Goroka. There was someone within the vicinity of where he was staying who knew about what Cafe Women's Association was doing. So he referred the survivor to Cafe Women's Association, and they were provided with shelter, temporary shelter, food and clothing.
Helen Mark, we've heard this man's story and we've also heard this woman's story, and I know that they're pretty typical of many stories in PNG. Are these sorcery accusations sometimes used as an excuse when there are disputes or animosity and other issues in communities?
Yes. Sorcery accusations has now been seen as kind of scapegoat to also accuse or disadvantage someone within the community, which people dislike or which they have some sort of disagreement with before. So it is an excuse that people are using to perpetrate violence on another person.
What local initiatives are in place to address the problem? What's the PNG government doing?
The Papua New Guinea government has also invested in certain legislative laws and policies. And one of them is the Family Protection Act. There's also the GBD strategy, which the government is using as a prevention.
What is Oxfam doing in this space? What are you doing to try and help people to survive these situations?
At the community level, Oxfam creates partnerships with community-based organizations working in the area of GBV to address GBV and social-related violence.
Helen, I know you're doing very intense work on the ground here. Do you feel like you're getting to the point, you're saying it's growing and you're very concerned about what's happening on the ground, but do you feel like you can turn this around, that there can be enough public education and support for the survivors to try and change this, to reduce the number of sorcery-related violence incidents that are happening in PNG?
Yes. Oxfam is also partnering with civil society organisations, faith-based organisations and other organisations, other players that are based in the communities and within the provincial level. So we feel that that's a concerted effort. We can all be able to work together to combat this issue. So within our partners, we are also investing in partners to disseminate information into the community. So communities aware of the laws that are in place and the penalties for social-related violence.
I want to thank you for joining us. I know it's a pretty difficult topic, and also to the two survivors who talked to us through you. I appreciate their time and their bravery as well. Thank you so much. Helen Mark is the coordinator of the Oxfam PNG Gender Justice Program, joining us to talk about sorcery-related violence incidents in PNG, the growth of those incidents, and also the personal stories of that man and woman who spoke bravely through their interpreter, Helen Mark. This is RN Drive. Up next, it's The Drawing Room.